Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. Just a heads up to my listeners, I am currently on a bit of a break from the show. However, I've recorded a few interviews to get me through my break, so there will not be a lapse in episodes, but I did have to record some in advance, so this episode in particular, we are talking about a film festival that has already since happened. But that does not mean you cannot still see the film, because I'm sure it will be coming out soon. And when I know, I will share that information. But I just wanted to give you the heads up that these are recorded in advance. They will be for about, I think, the next four episodes or so. Maybe three. I don't really remember. I have to look at the Google Calendar that has the information, because my brain does not have it right now. Anywho, let's get to the show. Today, we have Paula Rhodes. Now, you may know her from Resident Evil, the video games, or maybe you know her from New Adventures of Peter and Wendy. Maybe you know her from Barbie, Life in the Dream House. She is an incredibly versatile actor, on screen, off screen, voiceover, video games, animation, all the fun stuff. And hey, she just directed her first feature film called Delicate State, which just premiered at a great film festival here in Los Angeles. And we talk about what it's like as a female creator, an actor. And it was a great pleasure getting to know Paula. So here is my conversation with Paula Rhodes. And welcome to the show, Miss Paula Rhodes.
Thank you.
Welcome. I'm so excited to talk to you. I know that you said you had an interesting morning this morning.
Yes. Adulting plus creative life is always an adventure. We had a car stop right as we were trying to get to the kids to school. So, yay. Teleportation is going to be awesome when we get it, guys.
Oh, my God. I would love to be able to teleport. Like, that's the one, like, magical thing. You know, when you get those questions, they're like, oh, what's the superpower you wish you could have? Teleportation is always number one for me.
Never have to look for parking.
Yeah.
Never have to worry about traffic.
Right. I can go to New York for dinner, come back.
Awesome. Bi-coastal.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Right? Oh, God. It'd be so great in our industry to be bi-coastal like that.
Like, instantly bi-coastal. Can you be here for the callback? Yes.
Yes, ma'am. I can. See you in a second.
Future us is going to be awesome.
What now?
Future us. We're going to be so awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know. I keep waiting for like the flying cars and whatnot that we were all promised. Like, when is that going to happen?
Yeah, I feel really like we were sold a pony that didn't arrive for sure on that one. So
totally.
You chat with these cartoon writers and their parents.
Well, speaking of being a creative and also adulting, let's talk about your new film, Delicate State, since you filmed this whole thing while you were actually pregnant, which is like mind-blowing to me.
It was she's such a unique beast. kind of born out of necessity, puns intended, I suppose, because so much of how we define ourselves is via our art, our craft, our career, you know, and facing your body, your vehicle changing so much. I was very nervous about what that was going to look like and how I could continue on when we first got pregnant. We were very excited to be pregnant. We tried for a while. But yeah, I think after a number of times of bugging my husband about it, he once just kind of was like, well, just make our own movie. And I was like, oh. Yeah, no, that's a thing. I'm going to do that. And we got a good camera and kind of looked around at what we had, which was essentially us at the time at our location, our home. And then I started to think about what was really consuming a lot of my mind outside of my craft and my art area. And that was noticing that the civil dialogue for the country was just like spiraling out of control. And I kept hearing social media and mainstream media toss around this term civil war, like more and more nonchalantly, as if they were almost rooting for it without any idea about what being in a war looks like. And for the most part, I was seeing these were men saying this. And there is something about being your most vulnerable and realizing that there are currently women all over the world also in that state, having to face it in a nation torn apart by war, that I was like, let's humanize this a bit. This needs to be a bit of a cautionary tale, because before we rush towards some cliff because, you know, we can't bother to discuss things with people that don't agree with us on everything, then, you know, I don't know. I think at some point I just felt that responsibility and wanted to try. Granted, this was 2015.
Ooh, so baby.
I had no idea how far we would spiral. And we captured a lot of it over the course of our first pregnancy and a little bit, a few pickups from our surprise second pregnancy and filmed all over the country, marches, protests, political conventions, a lot of stuff that happened. We did not go all the way through this January, but we did go through some pandemic. We did get one shot of empty shelves in grocery stores. I think that might have been the last shot we did for a pickup. But just to hopefully, you know, have that dual purpose of a cautionary tale, hopefully for our nation in time, as well as to empower other storytellers, because I think that the real magic in being a creative is in that ability to change hearts and minds and empowering others to do that too, to get their stories out there. So I'm like, guys, if I can make this movie when I'm pregnant with two people, I promise you can do it. Tell your tales, tell your stories. Because for the first, you know, year or two, I'm sitting there thinking like, is this bad? Is this awful? I have no idea. And then we got, you know, some really great feedback from friends that viewed it. And then I ended up submitting to the Chimera Project, which if you're a female filmmaker or are non-binary as well, please connect with them, because they're such an amazing resource and community. And I won some finishing funds for them for their To Get Her Award. and some of the best champions I could. They were amazing. And they ended up putting my name forward and helping me win a special screening that Slam Dance was sponsoring at the Hollywood Arclight.
Wow.
Last spring. We all know what happened about then. So then along came COVID and that changed. But we took the whole year to polish her up, and now we have a world premiere coming up this Saturday at Dances with Films and at the famous Chinese theaters. And I it doesn't feel real, but I'm over the moon to get this baby out there.
That's so exciting. Was this your first time making your own feature as well? Because I know looking at your IMDb, you've dabbled in it in the series genre. But was this your first time with a film?
This was my first time with a feature film. I've definitely done a number of shorts and series and, you know, smaller bite-sized storytelling. And to be fair, it's similar, just more of a, you know, long-term, more of a marathon.
Yeah.
But the same muscles, I guess. But yeah, this was my first feature film endeavor with all those hats. I will say there's a reason that we have crews because, man, am I going to appreciate the heck out of them next time. It's lovely to collaborate.
God, isn't that the truth? I mean, but it's so cool that you did it with your husband too, and that you guys were like this two-person army. I mean, how was it working with him and having that experience? Were you guys able to separate things a bit and, like, you know, say, okay, this is work time, this is home time? Because I know with like creative work, it's hard to do that. It's hard to separate.
It is. Because we had such a long period of it stretched out where we could be like, you know, days and weeks off. And then all of a sudden we'd hear someone was coming to town and closing a bunch of streets. And we'd be like, oh my gosh, we're going tomorrow. Grab your camera. Let's just jump in the car and go. We need this shot. And probably the one doing this was me, right? Because I'm
the type.
Charlie is an incredible sport and an incredible climber of learning curves. So while, if it was something that I was like, I can't figure out this microphone, I'd be like, here, and all of a sudden he's sound guy. For the most part I could handle a lot of it, but every now and then I'd be like, okay, well, let's give you DIT duties. I don't know if
there
I'll you go for that one, but but he handled everything beautifully, and I love working with him. He is such a wonderful gifted human, and you know, and we can totally fight it out if we need to and then make up.
Love that. I think there's something really special with creators who work with their family. I've worked with my mom a lot, and I like, yeah, it's fun. And I think it's my mom. Yeah, we do features together, but it's always been an interesting balance trying to find that, like, okay, what comes home and what doesn't come home.
Right. If you have a tiff over the creative side, how to not let that span into.
But I think there's something special there, especially like you look at the Duplass brothers and you know, people who have really been able to balance, you know, family and personal life with also creative. And I think it brings an element that you can't fake into it.
It's also probably based on communication in a way, because if you're able to communicate with your family, right, you got to work through the kinks. There will always be kinks. But if you maybe, if it's somebody new, a stranger, and you're collaborating, it can be harder to find that balance of where you're able to speak up and assert and not assert, you know, like find that path to creative arguing or constructive criticism.
And I think it also, it speaks to, I think, more for female creators, right? I think that we're constantly trying to fight harder to get what we want, to be able to do what we want, to make the choices that we want. And so when you already have that base, that person who's with you, like saying, yes, let's do it, like, oh my God, 1,000 times easier. You don't have to try and prove yourself in front of a new crew or anything.
Yeah, it's such an interesting dynamic, isn't it? Like having this weird forever stereotype of like the male director smoking the cigar, giving orders in the distance. I have very black and white, apparently, stereotypes.
Very black and white. I like it.
But we still do fight that, like, who's the tallest guy on set? That must be
right.
Where here's this 5-foot-tall woman, you know? And I love working with female directors. Some of the commercials and different shows I've worked on lately have been phenomenal female directors, and they all bring such different interesting energy to it, where it's not directorial in the ruling a nation in the bad way, not ruling a set, energy, more a collaborative energy, Mm-hmm. I mean, I think America Young stands as just such a wonderful example of that, of being able to command respect, but it's like empathetic respect. You'd never be afraid to come to her with something. So it's changing the vibes of sets, and some people are always going to have an issue with that, but
of course,
gosh, the ones that don't, I love it, because it really does bring a lot of magic to have different energies.
Yes, it's true. So let me go back with you. Let's go back to the beginning. How did you get started into the industry? Were you also one of those children that like never stopped singing and performing and like making a fool of themselves?
Probably. I wish I could sing. Oh man, those gods passed me by. I don't know if it stopped me too much, but it's not good. But I was always a performer. For sure. I memorized Conan the Barbarian when I was like four-ish and would perform bits of it with Schwarzenegger's accent. for family. So it probably should have been a hint to my family. But we lived in, you know, not creative capitals in growing up, like Missouri and Arizona and Colorado. So it wasn't until I got to college and I entered a pageant as a joke. Because I thought a 5-foot-tall pageant person, I thought it'd be hilarious. And I ended up winning because the trick is, guys, if you're not worried about it, you'll probably come off better in a pageant.
Yep.
But I parlayed that into internships in New York that summer. And while I was there, I was like, well, I might as well do more than one internship. So I was doing like 4 or 5 internships and learning the business side. And that's when it really clicked for me of like, oh, these are just humans. And a lot of them are dumber than I am. I can figure this out. I can make this work.
Yeah.
And I took the leap after school and moved out to New York for 3 years.
Wow.
Where I had to face the hard reality that I cannot sing at all. And so Kristen Chenoweth, oh, I will never give you a run for your money. But eventually got out to LA for an audition and realized, A, weather, way better. B, a lot more room. And C, it was okay if I couldn't sing or dance. And I started booking commercials and voiceover and things that could really supplement and let me live as an actor as I pursued, you know, the larger stories that I wanted to tell and start to try on the other hats, the storytelling, the producing, the writing, the directing hats, and realize like, oh, I like all of this. Mm. And sometimes that might only one hat might fit. And it's lovely to just be an actor and be taken care of. But sometimes it's awesome to, you know, be the parent of the set and be the producer too. So it's never been a like, oh, I was overnight success. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't kind of want to punch those people that have that experience.
Totally. But, 100%.
Right. Yeah. Some punching. Like, I'm like, all right, Ryan Reynolds, get over here. I need to punch you real quick.
And you're cool. Yeah, I need to punch you.
No punch. But no, it was a very slow rung by rung climb that I'm still climbing. And I had to long ago realize like, it's not about getting to the top. It's the climb. I like the climb. So here I am liking my climb.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
I want to talk to you about the voiceover stuff, because I mean, your resume is just filled with these fantastic roles, like Resident Evil, Barbie, Doc McStuffins, like all the stuff that you've worked on. And I find it interesting that you said you were able to find it to supplement so that you could then actually go after like the bigger things that you wanted to go after. How did you fall into that?
You know, it's crazy. I probably shouldn't have even used the word supplement, because initially it was sort of like, well, how can I not be a waiter anymore, because I don't like humans when I do that. and I was doing other thrival jobs like nannying for directors and things, which was great. But when I finally got my foot in the door being able to pay creatively, I wouldn't want to downplay voiceover. I shouldn't have. Sorry, voiceover.
No. I don't think it's downplaying, but I think it's cool that you found a way to find the way to pay for your life.
Yeah,
by being creative.
And it is its own track. There are people that are just voiceovers, and they are phenomenal too, voiceover actors. And I found that I just kind of like to have a very mixed bowl of all my skills and storytelling things. But I also took my commercial agent at the time, who had a voiceover department, and I kind of ballsily went in and told them I had a meeting with the voiceover department. And they were like, "You do?" I'm like, "Yes, don't check. I do. Just, can I just talk to Mark real quick?" And I went in and I offered them a commission for a little tiny regional radio thing that I'd booked via a voiceover class that I'd taken, if they'd start setting me up for voiceover too. Mm. And they were like, "Well, what voices do you have?" And luckily I had like prepped a couple, and I had like 12 or so to run down. And they were like, "Okay, all right, we'll try." So I kind of got into it that way. And it's something you always have to be working on. Like, it is another craft in a way. So I've really enjoyed the voiceover community and jumping into like different workout groups, and the Gardner Collective and stuff is an amazing one. And just meeting other actors in that space and utilizing their skills. And my movie wouldn't exist without a lot of them, because of the production value, that being able to build out the world of just what you hear, it was key to creating this exact story that we were telling in this alternate timeline, right? So we used a lot of voice talent from actors to do that. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. And like having – it is its own craft, because being able to figure out the different voices and the different things that you can do with your voice, I mean – you don't just sit there and like figure it out unless you're like doing it with intention.
Right. If only. I would love to just sit there and have it come up. But yeah, no, it's it's its own odd craft. And sometimes you have to just be honest with yourself and be like, okay, well, something's not working right now. Let me go back and tune in stuff and go back to workout groups. And I mean, again, there are probably people that you want to punch because it's easy for them and they're great. But most of us, it is a large part of rejection, and we just constantly keep at it and keep adjusting where and when you can.
Tell me a little bit about the Resident Evil family, because that is such a – it's such a fun game, and it scares the absolute crap out of me.
Which one have you played?
I think it was the fourth one.
Oh, okay. Those are some scary ones. So I'm in 7 and 8. So okay. I'm in Biohazard and in Village, and they're not necessarily in order, because I know they came out with like some.
Yeah, I know. I've been trying to figure out how to play them, because I played 4 with my friends, and then I was like, I want to play them by myself, but I don't know that I can do it yet because I'm a little scared.
And they're different types of creepy, for sure. Yeah. And Biohazard and Village are sort of connected. I play Evelyn in both of those. And then I play Angie, this very creepy little bride doll persona in Village. And she's wonderful and delicious. And although we had, you know, such a great clan in 7, too, and some of those came back for 8, and we got great response from fans, it was nothing like we've gotten for 8 that just came out this summer for Village. It has been overwhelming, the response fans have had. Maybe it's that we've been locked up so long and we're all just like humans. But the fact that we didn't get to play together as much while we were filming it either, because we filmed probably half of it over COVID. Wow. And motion capture is such a fun space to play in, and voiceover is in that you can do it safely on your own, essentially. Like, you can be in the VOM 30, 40 feet away from the other actor. They can move you closer in post. The director can be in Japan. The producers can be 50 feet away over here. So I was amazed at the precautions they took. It was probably the safest set I'd experienced. But they did it. And to see it all come together now, and the support that the entire cast has for each other and that the fans have, is really touching. That somehow they found in this scary, creepy tale of a family, they found kind of this connection to the villains. And I guess it comes down to the fact that when you are a villain, you're never the bad guy in your own story, right? Like, each villain thinks they're doing right. Otherwise, it's kind of a cartoony villain, which, I mean, you can be in a video game. But because there is still that humanity there, they're oddly empathetic. So, Capcom did a great job with it. The fans are phenomenal. And I can't wait to see where it goes from here, because it's just been a blast.
Oh, man, I can't wait to play it. I'm going to have to, like, literally go download it after this and just lock myself in my room and play it.
My section is particularly suspenseful.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Okay. I'll prepare myself. I'll have, like, a vodka soda before I do it or something. But you've been working in live action stuff for forever as well, too. I mean, you've done so many things. Your resume is, like, endless, like, boundless.
I think I aggressively something... push back against the, like, don't the pick a lane mentality. I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
I like the lane, too.
I mean, I feel like I'm like you in that way, where it's like, I don't want to just do one thing. I want to do all the things. But I think that's also a very, like, type A personality type of thing, where we're just like, can I do it all?
And there's many women I find that are really good at multitasking, that we can do this. And I found it really striking when I first started pitching, when I was first just in, like, web series, pitching that kind of TV around. And I would sit there with my male cohorts or co-creators, and they would pitch something and just toss out, like, oh, yeah, bro, and I probably, like, wrote this role for myself. Nobody would blink and be like, cool. And then if I or other female creators, as I talked to them and realized this was something that was happening to lots of us, would do the same, it would be like, let's not take on too much or get ahead of ourselves here. And that was really aggravating. I wanted to change that. I mean, even now I have amazing actress friends, which I won't name them in case they are trying to pivot, but who've moved on to mostly directing. But when in doing that, they've had to, like, completely cut off the actor side of themselves and, like, pay PR to help them paint just a directing picture. And I'm like, well, but why? Why would is Taika Waititi still doing a role in Suicide Squad? Like, he's not like, I was never an actor. Don't address me that way. He's like, cool, yeah, I'll do a part. So I don't think we should have to cut off different branches of ourselves. I think it's all one big awesome tree, and women are equally, if not maybe more so in some cases, you know, prone to good multitasking.
I feel like women are better at multitasking. Just gonna say that.
I have another kid sleeping in the room right now, guys. Come on.
Right. Yeah. I definitely think that it's, like, a skill that we learn at an early age, too, because of, like, the responsibilities that women are supposed to take on. Yeah. I think that that's, like, something that's just kind of, like, ingrained in us as we grow up. Like, oh, but you have to be in charge of this, this, and this, too, and also this.
And make sure.
And it's like, okay, well, if I have to do that, if I have to do that in my personal life, why can't I do it in my professional life?
Indeed. So I love that the narrative's kind of starting to shift, or at least people are addressing it, which is often a precursor to shifting. So I continue to aggressively push back against picking lane. Do it. All the lanes.
I love that. I love that. I think we should start our own group of like women who don't pick a lane.
Yes.
Because I feel like that's needed. There's so many groups for like women directors and women actors and women whatever or non-binary or lane whatever haters. It is. Yeah. This is the no lane zone.
All lanes. All lanes welcome.
All lanes welcome. We love that. Oh my God. Well, on this show, we like to share audition stories from the acting lane. So are there some audition stories that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Oh, sure. There's so many. You guys have to realize it's, if you are not Ryan Reynolds, then you are getting tons of auditions that are no's before you get yeses. And even in between the yeses, you still get lots of no's. So sure, let's think of one. I have one bonkers one that I've shared a little bit, but I think it bears repeating. So my husband, I met him on a horror film. He was plotting my murder. Yay, like nice. You do. And shortly before he worked with me, he'd shot Transformers with one of his now best friends and mentors, Glenn Morshower. And Glenn also runs a bunch of – I mean, Glenn's been in everything. I think he's on the Resident Supergirl, like 80 different things right now. And he's in our film. See what I did there?
Oh, hey.
But he runs a class, too, in Dallas, an acting class. And he'd always done, like, motivational speaking or something. And at one point, he had told Charlie one of his secrets that he gives in classes about always having a secret when you go in for an audition. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, sure. Nothing wrong with that. I'm with you. Cool. But his specific secret was to make it physical by putting food somewhere on your body. All right. So okay. Charlie tried it, and he was telling me this tale of how he'd tried it, how on the film that we met on, he was like, no, this works. I was like, I'm going to try Glenn's trick. And he was like, oh, I'll just stop by the vending machine. What do they got? What do they got? Oh, Funyuns. Okay. And he got wasabi Funyuns. Oh, Charlie. He proceeded to put those in his underwear. And go into the audition and run around wrestling and whatnot. And it was a very active audition. And it definitely burned a little. And as he's walking out, he's noticing little like chip crumbs coming out of his pants that he probably left all over the audition room. But he booked it clearly because we are now married. But so he tells me this tale and he's like, no, I'm serious. It really works. It gives you something that's just like a little smirk almost that, you know, and they don't know. And it's just magnetic. They're drawn to. And I'm like, okay, all right. You know what? You and Glenn, you're pretty great at this. All right. I'm going to try it. I got, guest star audition for this, for In Plain Sight. I know I babysat for Mary McCormick. Like, this is great. I want to try it. I got to get this thing. So my genius decided to put peanut butter in my shoe. So I was like, I shouldn't drive there with it. I'm going to pull over like as I'm parking on the lot and I'll stop. I'll have it in a baggie. I'll put it just a little bit in my heel. I have high heels because that's fine. And I'll go in then with it squishing there. And so I did that. And I went in and I think the character was sick or something. And she had to like kind of lounge down a little. I don't know. There were like two chairs or something involved. And I'm sure I moved a little bit in the audition. But I overall felt pretty good about it. And I walked all the way back to my car afterwards. And, you know, lots aren't small. So it was a hike. Get all the way back in my car, have my baby wipes ready to, like, clean off my foot. And I'm like, wow, what do you know? That was pretty smart of me. Wait, hold on. Where is my insole? Because I have small feet and I had to put insoles in these heels to make them fit. And at some point, somewhere, probably in that audition room, a peanut butter covered insole had probably slipped out unbeknownst to me and sat there possibly to this day. So
oh my God,
I didn't get that role and I don't know why. So I've never tried the food trick again. And you know what? I have held a beef against Glenn and Charlie for that. They continue to laugh at me like, why would you put peanut butter? But look, Funyuns, bologna.
I mean, yeah, that was a
bad decision. So
that was a bad decision. Like the Funyuns were stupid, I gotta say. Mm-hmm. Especially the wasabi ones in the underwear. Like, oh my Lord, what are you doing?
Why not like your pocket or something? Yeah. No, we're like on your body.
But I just, how did, I want to know how the insole came out without you knowing.
I don't know. I blame gremlins or like really evil elves. I don't. To this day, it's a mystery of like, oh my God, how embarrassing. I don't think I've ever been back for that casting director. But I'd have to check to be sure. But oh my gosh, I'm probably Peanut Butter Shoe Girl to her forever. Because if they even bothered to find out it was peanut butter, because honestly, right. If I see a brown covered insole sitting somewhere, no. I'm gonna be like, I'm not touching that.
Oh my God, I didn't even think of that.
But yeah, guys, I'm gonna go ahead and recommend different sort of secrets for your auditions.
Yes. Yes. Different secrets. Not that. Please don't do that. Oh my God. That was fantastic. That's a great story. Don't put peanut butter in your shoes, friends. Just don't do it.
Yeah. That's a bumper sticker.
Oh man. Well, I have had such a fantastic time talking to you, and you're definitely gonna have to come back on the show when you have another film that you're going to put out there. I hope you're working on other ones now. Are you?
We have a table read we just did for one that I wrote. That's a female-driven dystopian fantasy. So.
Oh, hell yes. Hell yes. Love that. Well, I'm very excited. I cannot wait to see Delicate State. You'll have to keep us updated on how we can watch that. So what is your social media so people can keep up with you?
Absolutely. So for my personal one, it's just my name, Paula _ Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S, like the scholar. And for Delicate State, it's at Delicate_State. And that's across Twitter and Instagram for both of them. So find us, follow us. I would definitely appreciate it coming along on the journey. And I can't wait. It's going to be a fun Saturday. Yay. And hopefully more festivals and or distribution to come.
Heck yeah. I have had such a pleasure and I can't wait to see the movie, and thank you for everything. I look forward to more films from your mind.
Oh, thank you, Jillian, and thank you for sharing these podcasts. They're really enlightening. I love hearing everybody in their hilarious audition journeys.
Thank you. Such a joy to talk to Paula. Great conversation. And I'm so excited to see her movie, Delicate State. Again, when I know when it's coming out, I'm going to make sure to tell you guys. But also, you should follow Paula. I'm going to put her social media in the show notes. Follow Paula. Hey, I'm a poet and didn't know it. Oh, wow. That was bad. Anyway, follow Paula. And hopefully we'll all get to watch Delicate State soon. Maybe we should do a watch party or something, because I'm super stoked to see it. And yeah, tune in next week. I'm going to have Rana Roy on the show, who's currently on Gossip Girl. And she's got some great stories to share with y'all. So tune in next week. Until then, make sure you're following us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. We post some fun stuff, so go on over to Instagram and check that out. And hey, if you like the podcast, make sure you're subscribed. Leave us some love, some stars, some words of encouragement. And if there's somebody in particular you want on the show, you should message us on Instagram or Twitter, and let us know who you want to hear some stories from. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before, because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.